Hey everyone, and welcome to another deep dive where we take a closer look at some really interesting ideas that hopefully can help us better understand the world around us.
Absolutely. And today we're actually taking you inside one of the sessions from the Exponential Global 2025 conference.
Yeah, this was such a huge event and so much valuable content. So we're going to kind of zero in on the multi-site multiplication track seminar led by Warren Bird.
Yes, Warren Bird, a real thought leader when it comes to church finances, and of course, Senior VP of Research at ECFA.
Right, an expert. So for anyone listening who maybe wasn't able to attend the conference, think of this as your backstage pass to understanding some of the key financial strategies that are out there, especially if you're a church that's, looking to grow or even plant new locations, or maybe you're just kind of considering the whole multi-site thing.
Exactly. And our mission here is to kind of distill down the most important stuff that came out of Warren's session.
Yeah, we want to make sure this is, practical, actionable advice for you.
Right. We've gone through all of the notes and even some of the transcript excerpts, and we're highlighting what we see as the most valuable insights. Some surprising, maybe, perspectives that can really help churches rethink how they approach generosity and funding.
And one of the things that Warren Bird really kind of, tackles right out of the gate is this misconception that so many churches have, they run into financial challenges and they think, well, we just don't have enough money.
Right, it's a scarcity mindset.
Yeah, but he suggests that often it's not actually about a lack of funds at all.
It's something deeper.
Right. It's more about not having a clear, compelling vision for what you want to do with those funds. And then maybe even more importantly, not being able to communicate that vision effectively.
Yes, communication is key.
So how do we kind of, unpack that idea?
Well, what's fascinating is how Warren really connects the dots between having that vision and actually inspiring people to
Like
give.
he makes that connection clear.
He argues that people are much more likely to dig deep, to be generous when they really understand how their contribution is going to be
Yeah,
used.
they want to see the impact.
Right. How is it going to make a tangible difference in someone's life? How is it going to change things for the better? He really focuses on creating that straight line, that connection between what people give and the actual impact it has.
Yeah, and it's not enough for just the leadership team, the pastor, the elders or whoever to be excited about the vision.
Right. It's got to resonate more broadly.
He emphasizes that you really need to be able to articulate it from the perspective of the giver.
Yes. Put yourself in their shoes.
Right. What matters to them? What would make them want to contribute to this vision?
And he had this really powerful quote during the session. He said, "Money is not the problem. A compelling vision and the ability to communicate it clearly is."
Wow. That's such a great quote. And it really, makes you think about fundraising differently, right? It's not just asking for money. It's inviting people to be part of something bigger than themselves.
Absolutely. It's almost like you're saying, hey, partner with us on this journey to make a real difference in the world.
And to really drive that point home, he shared a really moving story during the seminar.
Yes, this was in our notes. I remember seeing it.
Yeah, tell us about it.
He talked about a custodian at a church in Alabama. This person had actually served time in prison and had been, led to faith and completely transformed through that church's prison ministry. Yeah, and during one of the offering times, this individual stood up and shared with the whole congregation how his own giving was now going to support that very same ministry that had, completely changed his life.
That's powerful.
Doesn't get much more real than that,
Right.
right? You see the direct impact. You see how giving comes full circle.
And I think that's a story that probably resonated with a lot of people in the room because it just shows how giving, it's not just about, a transaction or an obligation. It's about investing in something that you really believe in.
Yeah, it becomes personal.
So building on that idea of understanding your givers, Warren then went on to outline these three distinct categories of people within a typical church. And I thought this was really helpful because it gives you a framework to think about, okay, who are you actually talking to when you're talking about giving?
Right, because you can't assume that everyone is coming from the same place.
Right. Everyone's at a different point in their journey. So what are those three categories?
Well, the first one is the non-givers, and that's about a third of the congregation on average.
Okay.
And Warren's perspective on this is really interesting. He suggests that instead of seeing these folks as, people who are holding out on the church, we should view inviting them into generosity as a crucial part of discipleship.
Oh, that's a good point.
Right. It's like helping them take another step in their faith journey, not just trying to get more money in the offering plate.
Yeah, and it takes the pressure off of, making it a financial transaction.
Exactly. And you have the second group, the casual givers. This is another third of the congregation. And these are folks who give, but maybe not regularly or consistently.
Like on and off.
Right. So the key here is encouragement.
Mm-hmm.
You need to inspire these people to view giving not as something they do once in a while, but as a regular spiritual discipline.
Something they prioritize.
Yeah. And then finally, you have the core givers, and this is the last third. And these are the folks who are already giving consistently and generously.
So how do you approach them?
Well, Warren argues that this group actually needs to be challenged in a different way.
More of a stretch goal.
Right. He talks about things like legacy giving, so thinking about their impact even beyond their lifetime.
That's a good point.
He also mentions surplus stewardship. So basically, helping them figure out how to manage any excess resources they may have in a way that aligns with their faith.
Like if they've been blessed with a lot, how can they use that to further the kingdom?
Exactly. And then he also talks about inspiring them to make even bigger investments in God's kingdom beyond just the local church.
So the takeaway here is that you can't just have a one-size-fits-all message about giving.
Right. Because what resonates with one group might not resonate with another at all.
Right. And this point was actually further emphasized by one of the attendees at the seminar, a financial advisor named Edward, who made a really insightful observation about, you know, perception versus reality.
Oh, yeah. Tell me about that.
He pointed out that even individuals who might appear to be, you know, financially secure on the outside might actually be feeling really uncertain or stressed about their finances, particularly with all the, you know, craziness in the economy lately.
Right. Things are unpredictable these days.
Yeah. So you have to be careful about how you approach even the seemingly stable givers you need to be sensitive to their anxieties while still, you know, encouraging them to grow in their giving.
It's a delicate balance.
Yeah. And speaking of, you know, the financial landscape, another big theme that emerged from Warren's session was the increasing importance of online recurring giving. He actually called it the new tithing, which I thought was really interesting.
Yes. He really believes that this is the way of the future.
And there's some pretty compelling data to back that up, right?
Absolutely. Churches that proactively encourage their members to set up those automated recurring donations, you know, they tend to see a significant increase in their overall giving, something like 20% on average.
Wow.
Yeah, it's the convenience factor. You know, it's easy. People don't have to remember to write a check or bring cash every week. And the consistency also helps a lot.
It makes it more predictable.
And he stressed that it's not enough to just have the technology available.
You have to promote it.
Exactly. You need to really integrate it into the culture of the church. Make it a normal, accepted way to give, talk about it during services. Maybe even show people how easy it is to set up.
Yeah, like a quick tutorial.
And, of course, it's important to recognize and appreciate those who do sign up for recurring giving. What were some of the ideas that Warren suggested for doing that?
Well, one of the things he mentioned that I thought was really interesting was praying specifically for the online givers during the offering time.
Oh, that's a neat idea.
Yeah, you know, just subtly acknowledging them and also maybe encouraging others to consider doing the same.
Right. And it just kind of shows that you value those who are giving in that way.
And he also talked about the importance of aligning people's giving with their income cycle. So, you know, encouraging them to set up their recurring donations to coincide with when they get paid.
Yes. He really emphasized the biblical principle of first fruits giving, so giving to God from the first portion of your income.
And with online giving, it's easy to do that.
Right. You can automate it so that the donation goes out as soon as you get paid.
And the discussion about online giving actually went beyond just, you know, traditional bank transfers.
Yeah, it broadened out quite a bit.
Warren talked about all these new and emerging ways to give online, things like cryptocurrency.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, as well as more traditional assets like stocks, real estate, and donor-advised funds or DAF.
So many options.
Yeah, and this really opens up a lot of possibilities for churches to, you know, receive support from a wider range of sources.
It expands the toolbox.
And DAFs were a topic that came up several times. Can you just give us a quick, you know, layman's terms explanation of what a donor-advised fund is?
Sure. It's basically like a charitable savings account.
Okay.
You can put money or assets like stocks into the fund, and then you get an immediate tax deduction for that contribution.
Okay, so there's a tax benefit?
Right, and then you can recommend grants from that fund to different charities over time.
So you kind of control where the money goes.
Exactly, and Warren pointed out that Christians seem to be really active in using DAFs for ministry.
Yeah, he cited some data suggesting that a significant portion of giving is actually coming through these types of funds.
And that's important for churches to be aware of, because it means that there could be people within your congregation who already have money set aside for charitable giving through a DAF.
It's just waiting to be used.
Right. So the key is to make sure that you're communicating clearly and effectively about your church's vision and needs, because you might have potential givers in your midst who are just waiting for the right opportunity.
Now let's shift gears a bit and talk about something that Warren also addressed, which is the financial well-being of pastors.
Yes, this is so crucial and often overlooked.
He argues that a lot of pastors actually struggle with their own personal finances, which, you know, it's understandable given the often modest salaries and the demands of ministry.
Right, and can make it really difficult for them to lead with confidence when it comes to generosity and stewardship.
Like, they might feel hypocritical or unsure of themselves.
Exactly. So what solutions did Warren propose for addressing this?
Well, he strongly advocates for churches to actually invest in providing some kind of financial coaching or resources for their pastors and staff.
Like a financial advisor.
Yeah, or maybe some kind of training or workshops on budgeting and financial planning.
Because helping church leaders achieve financial stability is not just about them personally. It also benefits the whole church.
Right, because they can lead more effectively.
And he also talked about the importance of transparency when it comes to church finances.
Open book policy.
Yeah, being open and honest with the congregation about the church's financial situation can actually build trust and create a healthier culture of giving.
Because people know where their money is going.
And there was a really interesting moment during the seminar where they did a little poll of the attendees, many of whom were probably, you know, in leadership roles themselves, and they asked how many of them had a detailed personal budget.
I remember that.
And guess what? Less than half said they did.
Oh, wow. That's surprising.
Yeah, it just goes to show that, you know, even church leaders can struggle with these things.
But it's not just about telling the congregation to be financially responsible. It's about modeling it as well.
Right. Living it out.
So what are some practical things that churches can do to support their pastors in this area?
Well, one idea is to actually budget for a financial advisor as part of the pastor's compensation package.
That's a good one.
Another suggestion was to encourage pastors to seek advice from trusted friends or maybe financially savvy members of the church board.
Yeah.
Exactly. And just framing support for pastoral financial well-being as a standard benefit for all staff can also help to remove any stigma.
Normalize it.
Yeah. Now, moving beyond individual giving, Warren also emphasized the importance of what he called maximizing non-traditional revenue streams.
Yeah, this is something that a lot of churches probably don't even think about.
Right. And he pointed out things like church facilities, donor advised funds, planned giving through wills and trusts, and even applying for grants as potential sources of income that are often underutilized.
So churches have more options than they realize.
Exactly. And when it comes to planned giving, he really encourages churches to educate their members about the possibility of legacy giving.
Like leaving a gift to the church in their will.
Right. He believes that there are a lot of people who would actually love to do that, but they just need to be invited.
Like they're waiting for someone to bring it up.
Exactly. And he cited some research showing that when churches regularly mention the option of including the church in their will or estate plans, the likelihood of people actually doing it increases significantly.
Wow. So just talking about it can make a big difference.
And he mentioned some organizations like the Financial Planning Ministry that can actually help churches with this.
What do they do?
Well, they often provide free or low-cost will writing services for church members, which is a great benefit for everyone involved.
Yeah, everyone needs a will.
And it also creates an opportunity for the church to be included in those estate plans.
And speaking of wills, he also talked about the benefits of using a trust versus a traditional will.
Right. And he pointed out that trusts can sometimes avoid the whole probate process, which can be really lengthy and expensive.
Yeah, that can be a big hassle.
So using a trust can sometimes allow for a more timely and private distribution of assets to the beneficiaries, including the church.
And the final key area that Warren addressed was the importance of trust and integrity. And this is obviously something that's, you know, crucial for any organization, but especially for churches.
Right, because people need to know that their money is being handled responsibly and ethically.
And he highlighted a really concerning trend, which is the decline in public trust in clergy over the past few decades.
Yeah, there's been a real erosion of trust.
So it's more important than ever for churches to be, you know, above reproach when it comes to their finances, to be transparent and accountable.
And he mentioned the ECFA in this context. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability is an organization that promotes high standards of financial accountability and ethical conduct within Christian ministries and churches that are members of the ECFA voluntarily adhere to these guidelines.
So it's like a seal of approval.
Right. It gives people confidence that the church is being run with integrity.
And what are some of the key building blocks of financial integrity that Warren highlighted?
Well, he talked about things like having a committed leadership team that prioritizes integrity above all else, implementing sound financial management practices, being transparent in financial reporting to the congregation, exercising diligence in matters of staff compensation and conflicts of interest, and just generally practicing trustworthy stewardship of all the resources that the church has been entrusted with.
So it's really about being above board in every aspect of your finances.
Yeah, and he gave some practical examples of how to do that. Things like having a board of directors with a majority of independent members who can hold the leadership accountable, implementing checks and balances in financial transactions, being open and transparent about any potential conflicts of interest.
So it's about creating systems that prevent abuse and ensure accountability.
And finally, the seminar concluded with a discussion about the importance of educating the congregation about biblical generosity and church
Yeah,
finances.
you can't just assume that people understand these things.
And they emphasized the need for regular and multifaceted communication,
Using different channels?
right? Sermons, newsletters, small group discussions, even visual reports, just finding creative ways to get the message across and tailoring it to different segments of the congregation.
Yeah, you got to meet people where they are.
And one interesting point that came up was the idea of celebrating acts of generosity as a way to inspire others.
Like public recognition.
Yeah, but obviously while still respecting individual privacy.
Right. You don't want to make anyone uncomfortable.
So Warren Bird's session at Exponential Global 2025 was really packed with valuable insights for churches that are looking to, foster a spirit of generosity, and especially for those who are exploring or already engaged in multi-site
It
ministry.
was a real master class.
And the key themes that we heard over and over again were the importance of having a clear and compelling vision, understanding your givers, embracing modern technology, ensuring the financial health of your leaders, maximizing all your available resources, and building a strong foundation of trust and integrity.
Those are the pillars of a thriving church.
And Warren's central message was really encouraging. He basically said that the money for ministry is often already there within your church community. It's just a matter of unlocking it.
By doing all the things we've talked about.
Exactly. And we hope that this deep dive into his insights has been helpful for you, especially if you weren't able to attend the conference.
Yeah, we've just scratched the surface here.
Right. There's so much more to explore.
So we encourage you to check out some of the resources that were mentioned during the seminar, like the ECFA website, ecfa.org, and Warren Bird's book, Contagious Generosity.
Yeah, those are great places to start.
And we hope this conversation has given you some food for thought and some practical steps that you can take to foster a culture of generosity in your own church context.
Because ultimately, it's about so much more than just money.
It's about stewardship and faithfulness and partnering with God to make a difference in the world.
And we believe that every church has the potential to do that.
Absolutely.
Thanks for joining us on this deep dive.
We'll see you next time.
Bye.